Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Gary Charles. His sermon is entitled Our Guiding Saint and is based on scripture from Luke 7:36 through 8:3. Hear now from the sanctuary of Central Presbyterian Church on the 12th of June, 2016, the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time, the Reverend Gary Charles.
Let us pray. Open our hearts and minds to the reading of your word, and write your word upon our hearts. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and he took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I've got something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." So Jesus said, "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debt for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered, "I suppose the one whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love, but the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Holy wisdom, holy word. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am convinced that we make practicing the Christian faith much harder than it needs to be. Now, Christian thought is certainly not without its complexities. Ask a theologian like our own Martha Morkesh, and she'll tell you the Christian faith has more than its share of ponderous doctrines. Try to explain predestination to someone in a few words, or in a Wikipedia article, or in a few books for that matter. Try to help someone grasp the concept of the Trinity, one God in three persons. Cross a religious cultural divide, try explaining resurrection to someone whose beliefs have no afterlife, or whose beliefs have a plural afterlife. Try explaining any of these, and you will make yourself or them dizzy. Even so, I am convinced that we make practicing the Christian faith much harder than it needs to be. Just look at the unnamed woman in Luke's gospel. She gets Jesus. When so many of the devoted and learned folks around him are absolutely baffled by him, she lavishes Jesus with unquestioned hospitality and love, while others busy lining themselves up to make their theological case against him. She does not position herself for a pat on the back or a place in his cabinet. She just does what seems the right thing to do. There's an extravagant simplicity to her grace-filled behavior that Jesus cannot help but praise. So this morning, I want to celebrate a woman who won the heart of Jesus, a woman about whom we know next to nothing. We do not know her name. We do not know how she found her way into a male-only dinner. All we really know about her is that she acted toward Jesus with astounding generosity and practiced outrageous hospitality. Somehow this woman understood that to be in the presence of Jesus is always a gift and always calls us to lives of hospitality and love. Somehow she knew that practicing this Christian thing is really not all that hard. Since 1858, on its best days, this woman has been Central's guiding saint. And by God's grace, she will be so for many years to come. When the throngs came to Atlanta to grieve the untimely and violent death of Martin Luther King Jr., Central opened its doors and its kitchens and its every nook and cranny so that people who would have no place to sleep elsewhere in Atlanta would have a place to sleep here. A part of the story that is not often told is that a number of church families left over that act of radical hospitality. But our guiding saint and Luke inspired leaders not to retrench in fear or to bow to the demon of racism. Instead, they practice hospitality and welcome. Long before Central housed this marvelous outreach and advocacy center, it housed the first well baby clinic in Atlanta. Women who would otherwise have received little or no pre or postnatal care, they and their children could go there for good health care at an affordable price. And if that were not remarkable enough, Central's leaders later decided that the services of the Well Baby Clinic would no longer be limited to whites only. When that decision was made, there is another significant group that left the church, but our guiding saint refused to allow us to retrench in fear or bow to the demon of racism. 1980, on a cold winter's day, a member of our city died on the streets of Atlanta. Joanna Adams, Mark Basher, and Lady Katie Basher, and members of the Shrine and members of this congregation said, never again. And that was the beginning of the Central Night Shelter, a night shelter that's been the envy of all the shelters in the city, a shelter that from its inception, people have said,
We shouldn't have a shelter. It just perpetuates homelessness and it perpetuates dependency. We need to get out of the shelter business. But every time someone on the street comes up to me and recognizes me as pastor, and they say to me, "Pastor, the central night shelter saved my life," I think of our guiding saint and I give thanks. You see, our guiding saint is one who does math differently than the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the ones to tell you we never have enough. Our guiding saint tells us you always have enough. You always have enough to live in radical hospitality and love. It's been taught us by Central's Cancer Ministry, a company of caregiving saints who follow our guiding saint to make that harsh reality of cancer a little less lonely, and for Central's deacons who have become a company of committed pastors. It's also true for Central's pastors and residents, present and past, who have blessed us and now bless the greater church in Israel, Palestine, in Birmingham, in Wichita, in Orlando, in the Highlands, and throughout the United States. And it's true for Central's children and youth who follow our guiding saint upstairs to the top floor, to the gym, to wash the feet of shelter guests and to lift our spirits in song in the Bethlehem and Nazareth and Jerusalem choirs, and to stand across the street on the state capitol steps to tell the adults there that killing in our name is never right. Knowing those who now lead this congregation and those who support those leaders, I am confident that there are many best days ahead for Central. And just how is it that you measure a best day? They are the days when people follow Jesus, not into prosperity, but into the land of justice and mercy. They are the days when generosity outlast prudence. They are the days when hospitality happens despite the most meager resources. They're the days when radical acts of hospitality and love prevail over cowardly acts of fear and hate, prevail over every ism that threatens to build bigger and bigger walls, the very walls that Jesus calls us to tear down. I look forward to hearing about many more best days at Central. Best days for this special company of living, lively, loving, sometimes contentious, always opinionated, often inquisitive, frequently generous, faithful, and glorious. Members of the body of Christ, may each of your best days be a true tribute to Central's guiding saint, whose simple and gracious example shows us that practicing the Christian faith is really not all that hard. Amen.
We're glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA, located in downtown Atlanta, across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries of Central Presbyterian, we invite you to visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers that seeks to be bearers of God's love and justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.